Well, it's been an excellent start, to say the least, especially up in Mullawa, which I think is a 1-in-a-50-year event. You know, we've had close to 300 mil, and it's looking darn good. So, let's hope it keeps going. Around Moron Rock, we've had about 150 or 60 mil over the last 5 weeks. Marvelock's very good as well. Westonia's very good. Probably the driest part is north of Bullfinch, which has rained, but nowhere near as much.
So with all that rain, does it mean that your seeding rigs are out and about?
No, not yet. We probably start some oats in the next day or two, and I don't really like to start seeding wheat before Anzac Day, so I reckon that all my crew, if they promise me they'll be here this week, Monday or Tuesday next week, will be all guns blazing. Yeah.
So what sort of program are you putting in this year? How many hectares?
Yeah, no, we hope to get around the 65,000 hectares in, and I like to think it's going to be too wet that we can't get it in, but at this point of time it's looking good, and the sprayers are out there doing the first knockdown, and I reckon we'll be ready to go next week.
So 65,000, put that in context of the last couple of years.
Very similar to last year. We had a pretty good start last year, and the year before, well, we had a dry start and a reasonable finish, but more so for people further south than where we are. But having said that, very similar to last year. It's a big cost today to get a crop in. So, 65 will pull me up.
Now, you talk about costs, and we know that your properties, yep, are on the market. Tell us where that process is at.
Well, the tenders are supposedly, the shut-off is on the 24th of this month, which is only a few days away. There is a fair few interested parties, and they'll probably start their due diligence next week. And we'll get down to who's got the real McCoy, and if the money's going to be right, we'll sell, and if it's not going to be right, well, I guess we'll keep farming it.
That interest, is it here locally, or is it coming from overseas?
It's all overseas. There's hardly any Australian interest at this stage. It's all funds, foreign funds, whether it be Saudi Arabia or China. That's where all the interest is at this stage.
Are you disappointed by that?
No, not really. I mean, at the end of the day, somebody's going to buy it, I think. It would be nice to have somebody from Australia to buy it, but not at this stage.
We know that in recent weeks and months there have been some changes touted to the Foreign Investment Review Board. That hasn't put anyone off?
I don't think so. I think it's just slowed the process up. I don't think it's put anyone off. It would have been easy if they had reduced it from 252 million to 50 million or 80 million, but 5 million, but I guess it's just a registrar, and it might just delay the process, or prolong the process more correctly, yeah.
So you're putting in a crop this year. Those tenders are out, mm-hmm, at the moment. One of the options, obviously, is a lease-back, mm-hmm, arrangement. Do you think you will be farming next year? You'll be getting the seeding rig out next year?
Definitely. I can't see myself not seeding next year, whether I have sold or not. It doesn't matter. If it sells on a lease-back, well, we'll lease it for probably 3 or 4 years. As I said earlier, I just can't continue to work forever. I mean, I like to think that when I get to 65, and that's 3 years away, that it'll be time to slow down somewhat.
There has been some talk that this is a forced sale.
Yep.
Is that the truth?
No, definitely not a forced sale. It was a decision that I made in conjunction with the banks that if we sold part of the operation, we'd still have a debt there and I'd still be dealing with them. And I wake up one morning and I said, well, why don't we put the whole lot on the market, and that'll get rid of me dealing with this, basically. And that's... Yeah, we both agreed, basically.
What do you think that feeling will be like to not have that debt from farming?
Oh, I think it'll be great. I mean, I'm not scared of debt. The problem I see is that when you doing an investment and you enter in a partnership with a bank, and they say, well, we'll lend you 50 or 60%, and then things turn around like they have done, and all of a sudden I lose my 40% and they think they're at risk. That's just very short-sighted from where I sit. So I just think that it's just pressure that I don't need.
There's still plenty of farmers in Western Australia who are farming well into their 80s. Did you ever envisage that you would be one of those farmers, or did you always know that you were going to get out around this time?
I don't think I ever knew. I mean, I always thought that I started with nothing, and I always knew that I'd farm 40 or 50,000 acres, but, we got to 450,000 acres at one stage, and sure, a lot of that is leased land, but I'm finding it it's time to slow down, and the costs are just far, far too great. So the risk is out there is just too, it's just too big, and I just want to minimise my risk, and I'll just, we're still farming, but I don't want to be farming till I'm 80.
What are some of those big barriers that you could see in your mind to continuing on for, say, the next 10 years?
The best thing that's going to happen is that multi-peril insurance. We really got to get that up and working well, especially for this eastern wheat belt country where it is hit and miss. And I think that to give some assurance to our bankers and the guys that loan us money is that we can at least have an insurance policy in place that at least cover our input costs.
We know that there are increasing population right around the world, increasing number of mouths to feed. Do you think, given what you've experienced and what you've seen in agribusiness in Western Australia, can we meet that demand?
I think we can meet that demand, but the unfortunate part from where I sit is that they all want this clean and green grain that we grow and protein. But the worst part about it is that, sure, protein has gone up somewhat. I think grain's still a lot of volatility in grain, and I think it's $100 to $150 below where the correct price should be. And sometimes I wonder if those multinationals are really doing the right thing to farmers.
So seeding time is nigh. The tractors will be out in the paddock in the next couple of weeks. Tenders close this week as well. Can you see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, listen, I'm a very positive person, as you know, Tara. All I can say to you is that we've been ready, we've been geared up for a long time. The fertiliser's in the shed, the seed's been treated, and we're ready to go. We're just waiting on a few more staff that promised me to be here this week, and the tenders don't bother me one way or the other. It would be nice to have someone come along with the right money and sell. But for us, it's business as usual. We must get that crop in, and then, if whoever buys it wants to pay for the crop that's gone in the ground, well and good. And if they don't, well, I guess settlement will be delayed somewhat.
And having a chat over the fence, I dare say your neighbours would be pretty happy with the start they're having as well. Give us an idea of what optimism's like for the season ahead in the eastern wheat belt.
It's probably the best for the last at least decade, if not more. Everyone's bubbly, everyone's pretty happy at the moment, and so they should be. There's a big sense of optimism out there, and I just hope wheat prices don't collapse. I hope wheat prices, where the dollar is and where it's heading, hopefully that'll keep prices, around the 300, which would be nice. If there's a bonus of an extra $50 or $100, we will take it, I'm sure.